So this fact is very simple. It's about motivation. It's about faith. It's about arousing energy for the spiritual life. It's all very simple. The state of enlightenment exists. It is possible to achieve it. Other people have gained enlightenment. If you make an effort, you will gain it too. The thing is to take that to heart. That's the difficulty. So I've been thinking a little bit about motivation. I was saying this in the group yesterday. It sounds very grand, doesn't it? Motivation or, the will to enlightenment, progress on the spiritual life. Basically, it's what gets us up in the morning. It's what gets us out of bed in the morning. It's the basis of all our commitments. It's what we're saying yes to. It means we don't lose heart under difficult circumstances. We don't turn back when it gets tough. We don't get complacent when we have a good meditation. We're just always pushing forward. Yeah, I've been thinking a bit about motivation. I've been thinking about it partly. I don't know why these reflections are going on in me. Maybe it's because Sangajeevani, a year or so ago, fractured her spine when she was in Australia. So this had quite a big impact on me, particularly for the period when she was very ill. And I was thinking about a friend that I knew in Glasgow. Well, I still know him, a guy called Amoga Vajra. And he's an older member who also lives in a wheelchair. Luckily, Sangajeevani is not in a wheelchair. And he broke his back severely in a diving accident when he was 18. And he told me one day when I was with him about the first few months after that accident, the care that the staff took of him when they lifted him off the beach, for instance. He said they knew what had happened. I didn't, or something. And then the coma for the next 10 days. And then him having to make a choice for quite a long time after that about whether to live or not, really. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And there's a lot, I suppose, in a massive accident like that, there's a lot that draws you away from life, probably. And he said that his mother had a friend who came and visited him regularly. I don't know whether she was very attractive and he got attracted to her or not, but whatever was going on, his mother had a friend who read a children's story to him. And this story gradually drew him out of something. I don't know what the story was or anything like that. And he gained a kind of grasp on life. And, I was just thinking about, what it was like to face that kind of thing in oneself and to work with it. And then I was talking to Ginny about a year or so ago. I was talking to Ginny, who works here. And she used to work as a physio in a big spinal ward in Sheffield. And she said that when people have big spinal injuries, part of their rehabilitation is to pair them up or to buddy them up with somebody who has got the same injury as them, but who is 10 years down the track. Yeah? And they try and find exactly the right person. So it's not only that they've had the same injury and they're 10 years forward on it, but they've had the same injury at the same time, at the same age as the patient. And I thought, this is very clever. Why is that important? I didn't ask her this, but I sort of was thinking it myself. Why would it be important that it has to be the same age, the same injury, only you're a bit further on? And I thought, the reason is we're so clever at giving reasons why we can't do what we need to do. We justify all the time. My injury is much worse. I got it when I was a different age. The conditions aren't quite the same. We all have to be slightly different in order for the reason why we can't progress, the reason why we can't do it. So they try and find exactly the right match so that there's no loopholes for you to just get through. Clever, eh? Because that's what's needed. If we give us a little chink of the reason why we can't do something, and we'll find it, and we'll make a lot of headway with it. So when they buddy up somebody in a big hospital like that, that you've got some, I suppose that injured person has got somebody who's a role model for them. They can see what their future looks like. But their injury is absolutely comparable to their own. And there's no way of justifying why they, you know, why they can't do what needs to be done. So I was thinking, that's what we're like, isn't it? We're all spiritually disabled, lying in a bed of self-pity, confusion, half-baked ideas and opinions, doubt, confusion, whatever it is, and saying, nobody quite understands the conditions I'm working under. There's years and years ago, I heard this talk by Padma Shuri, and she was describing a conversation she had with a friend, a Mitra friend in Cambridge, just before she was ordained. And the friend was saying, oh, I don't know, the Dharma, the Dharma doesn't really work for me. I mean, there's something about the way that, you know, she was going on about how it didn't quite work, and maybe she wasn't quite doing it right, but it never seemed to add up to anything. And eventually Padma Shuri was saying, well, does the Dharma work for anybody else? And she went, oh, God, yeah, I mean, God, I've got this friend who I'm working with, and she changes loads. You know, all sorts of things happen, and she just practices Metta Bhavana, and she's much happier the next day. And then Padma Shuri said, well, is there anybody else that you know? Oh, God, yes, there's somebody else, and blah, blah. And eventually Padma Shuri said, so what makes you so special? And it was such an interesting sort of reflection back, because at that point you're thinking you're not special. You're thinking they're special or something. But actually, if you think it's not working for you, you're the one making yourself special.